I'm Holly Constant.
And I'm Maddie Hockaday. We really love Parks and Rec, and we really love behind-the-scenes details.
So we're researching everything from DVD extras like deleted scenes and commentaries,
plus interviewing cast and crew who actually worked on the show.
We also bring on guests and friends to geek out about everything parks.
So join us, you tropical fish.
This is literally the best Parks and Rec rewatch podcast.
We're your park pals.
There's a park and some pals, and there's also therapy too.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Park Pals. Oh my gosh, we have such an incredible episode today. I'm going to try to keep this intro brief so that we can just dive right in. I just wanted to come on so that I could introduce you to Leslie Thurston and kind of give you a breakdown of what's going to happen today because, I don't know, I thought about splitting these up into two parts and then I was like, you know what? Well, I'm just going to give it all to you right now because why not? That's what she said. Anyhow, sorry. Okay, so Leslie Thurston was the waitress that was serving everybody at the restaurant where Andy and April and Ron and Professor Linda and Chris go to celebrate after Chris passes his exam, his women's studies exam. And she wanted to chat via Zoom. And so we did that for about 10 minutes. So after that 10 minutes is up, I have an amazing guest. Brian Goff from Citizens of Pawnee podcast is going to break down live ammo with me, which is so exciting. We're almost to the end of season 4, which is wild. But you will really enjoy Brian and I's conversation. I mean, we are both so nerdy about parks and like figuring out all the different parts of the episodes that would, you know, would, I don't know how to even say it, would just like, it was something that happened in last episode would, you know, correspond to something that's happening in this episode kind of thing. So anyway, all right, well, don't forget to rate and review. And also, if you want to hear me chat and like have some fun with me over on like my comedy kind of side, please subscribe to the bonus pods because those are only $3 a month. And I just released a trailer. Well, the timing is going to be bad for that. I just released a trailer. And so that's for the free people. But if you want more like content like that and stuff that you see on my Instagram and stuff, it's just $3. So you don't have to give up your coffee. I know that's how a lot of people market their subscriptions. You don't have to give up your coffee. It's $3 for a month. You know what I'm saying? So it would just be a really fun way to support the show. But if you can't do that, share this episode with somebody that you love or don't love, that maybe somebody you wish would watch Parks. I don't know. But thank you to Leslie Thurston. Thank you to Brian Goff. Thank you to everybody who's listening right now. Go follow Leslie. Go follow Citizens of Pawnee podcast. I'll make sure to tag both of those in the show notes and on the Instagram. So thanks for listening, and I hope you guys enjoy. Here's Leslie Thurston first, and then Brian Goff of Citizens of Pawnee. Thank you.
There's a park and some pals, and there's also therapy too.
Oh, hi. Hello. How's it going?
Nice to meet you, Holly.
Good to meet you too. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Happy Monday.
Yes, happy Monday indeed. It's raining here, so.
Well, no, we finally got a break from it.
Oh, I know. You guys have gone in wild. LA, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for asking me to do it.
Well, thank you again for coming. I really appreciate it. The first thing I really ask every guest really is how you got your job on Parks. And, you know, if you remember anything about the audition, the sides, anything like that.
You know, it was through an audition where, you know, your agent submits you for the role and then you get called in. And so I remember going into the room and just it was really a good connect with the casting director. I don't even remember at the time who all was in the room, but I just remember it being fun and light and they laughed. So I do remember that. So that was cool.
Yeah, totally. Do you remember if they changed anything from the audition to the day on set? I always love to hear if they've, you know, kept what was in the scene. I know it was a long time ago, though.
Yeah, no, they didn't change anything. But I my recollection is that I don't know if I had the name. I think I may have been. It was waitress. But I really think it was Nick Offerman. He was a gem. I would love to work with him again. You know, any of them, but he, I think because that's my recollection that he called me that name and he gave me that name of Kendra. So I think in the beginning it was only waitress. That's my recollection.
I love that. And it makes it seem like he knows you and has been in this restaurant 800,000 times. So it totally makes sense.
Exactly. I loved it.
Yeah, totally. Well, apart from Nick Offerman, do you have any other memories of anyone else on set that you had a good experience with?
I mean, again, everybody was great. I mean, the other guest actor, the actor that wasn't a regular at the time, is the woman that played Rob Lowe's date, Danielle. Mm-hmm. We both were there, you know, for that episode. And she was very nice. I mean, I have not seen her again, but I remember her being nice because we're off to the side together maybe and had more opportunities to interact. So she was really cool.
Oh, that makes sense. Do you remember where that restaurant was at all? Was it on set or was it somewhere on location?
It was on location. And those are my favorite kind of shoots. I love being on location. I don't know. I like being, you know, out with people. And it was in a restaurant because that's making it more authentic with the food and the smells. I mean, you can have it on a set as well, but it was really cool. I don't remember the name, but it was a restaurant on Ventura Boulevard, which is in San Fernando Valley of LA, Studio City. So it was on Ventura in Los Angeles, in San Fernando Valley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I bet, you know, with the whole mockumentary style that they had going, it makes so much sense that it was like in a real restaurant and not on a set. So that's awesome. But they make everything look so realistic on set. So like I could totally see it being on set somewhere, but they did have windows. So, I mean, I would assume that it was a location also, but you just never know.
Exactly. No, but those are fun.
Yeah, that's
because
so
you have
cool.
People outside, you know, they're checking you out, you know, see what's going on because it's, you know, it's going on and during the day of a busy city like Los Angeles. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember if there was any improvisation or if Nick ever, besides the Kendra thing, like threw you any lines or anything like that?
You know, because I am, you know, I believe in what you just said, being very authentic and being in the moment. They did have me walk around to other, you know, other patrons. So I may have asked, what did you want? Or is that a coffee? How would, you know? So it didn't end up in the final episode, you know, the final scene, the final edit. But during those moments, I would say something or the customer would say something and they asked, what did you say here? And I go, okay, I said this. So there was an opportunity, but it didn't make the final edit. But you know, because you're a waitress, you're going around to other customers, not just the Parks and Rec folks. So.
Yeah. Just like playing around with it a little bit more. Well, speaking of that,
exactly.
I mean, did you get it? Because my co-host, she hasn't been on the podcast in a while, but she was also saying that we really appreciate how you have this kind of like blunt delivery to Rob Lowe of like, you really can't be doing that. Like when he brings his own dressing. And I'm just wondering if you got any direction on that or if that was just all you or a little bit of both or if they asked you to do it different ways or anything like that.
I don't usually pat myself on the shoulder, but that is, I'm known for deadpan. I'm known for that no nonsense type of delivery, type of character. I've played them in other things. So it was definitely all me, but they love that. They encouraged it even more.
I love that. That's so lovely. Oh my gosh. And this is so into the nitty gritty, but I always ask anyway, did they do any hair, makeup, wardrobe changes, or was that pretty much what you had already had?
Well, I'm trying to think because, you know, what do you wear as a waitress? I mean, you know, a white blouse and black slacks.
Right.
And I think I may have worn that to the audition, but I think it was time for the actual. They gave me a uniform of sorts, more of a uniform. And it was my natural hair. They just touched it up. So it wasn't far from what I had worn, but that, you know, that basic uniform that a server would wear.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I've talked to other guest stars who've been on the show who said that a casting director wildly remembered that they were wearing whatever they wore and asked them to bring it to set. And I was like, that is so funny. I mean, I guess they really wanted it to be authentic, which makes sense. I just always imagine, you know, that's more of a background situation. So I love that, you know, I just like hearing that.
Yeah, well, I'd like to share that I have done other roles where I wore the same. They loved what I wore, and I did wear it to the actual day of shooting. So that happens quite often. And I will let you know, I don't know if you know this, or we've heard from many other actors that, you know, so when you go in for fittings, it's the director who makes the choice of what you finally wear.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Gotcha. Love that. That's so cool to hear. Well, do you have any other like memories or anything else that you wanted to share? I mean, that's really all that I usually ask people. So we're happy to hear literally anything you want to say, how long you were on set, how the casting directors were, anything.
No, I mean, it was a good memory. I just to add that everybody was fantastic. You know, I mentioned Nick Offerman to Rob Lovis, Ray, Danielle, the guests. Everybody was fantastic, and it was what was fun to watch them, like Aubrey. I can't think of her. You know, Aubrey Plaza.
Aubrey Plaza
was in the scene too, and even I think Chris Platt was in it as well.
Yeah,
Aubrey Plaza, but I think Chris was also. And I just remember the chemistry, the timing, and so you learn from watching, and so it was fun. It was a fun shoot because you were watching these pros. And they were just the timing, and they were funny, and then on top of it, everyone being nice. I mean,
oh my gosh.
Hey, what more can you ask for?
Yeah, totally.
Right? So
that's awesome. I love hearing that. Did you have a callback, by the way, or was it more of a straight booking? Do you remember?
That I don't remember. I don't think it was a callback. I think it was the one audition, and then I got the job. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious because a lot of the stars or a lot of the actors that I have talked to have said that they didn't really. It was just more of a direct booking after the audition. They didn't get a call back or whatever. It was just like, yeah, we like you. Let's move forward, which is kind of nice to hear.
Yes. Yes, that is nice, right?
Yeah. Well, what can we promote for you now? What are you working on, or do you want to share social media or anything that we can talk about that you're doing now?
Well, I'm in the current season of The Morning Show.
Okay.
With Jennifer Aniston, I play a nurse in that one. I'm trying to think what episode it is, 5 or 6. I'm not sure, but so that's right now on Apple TV Plus.
Yay!
And Jennifer has a SAG award nominations. Thank you for that. And that was great. It was a great thing. So that's what's happening right now.
Lovely.
I did a play last year, but that was last year, so it was already February.
So, I know. Oh my god,
we're on to some new things. Hopefully some new things will come. It's a B before my first name, B Leslie Thurston, so you can follow me on Instagram.
Okay, lovely. I'll be sure to tag you and put that in the show notes of whenever this episode comes out so that we can follow you. But if there's anything ever that you want to like promote or, whatever that comes up, even though, you're not on it in that moment, you're still a friend of the show. So we will happily share whatever you're working on.
Well, thank you. That is so kind. That's so sweet. Thank you so much, Holly.
Of course. Well, thank you so much for meeting with me. I really appreciate it. And for sharing your background. I mean, I know it was really short, but we just love hearing how nice everybody was. Nick always has wonderful like things said about him. And yeah, we just loved your performance too. So well done.
Thank you, Holly. And much success with your podcast. That's fantastic.
Thank you so much. All right. Well, thank you, Leslie. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
And some pals, and there's also therapy too.
Awesome. Well, okay, so we're on Live Ammo. We're starting officially. This is season 4, episode 19. Welcome, Park Pals. Thank you so much for being here. We have an amazing treat and a special moment for us. I have another co-host, Brian. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited. I'm actually on my podcast. I'm on End of the World. So I'm about 13 episodes behind this one. So I'm going to have to save these notes actually, and then I can just reuse them in a couple months when I do that episode. But yeah, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much.
Yes, of course. And yes, you mentioned your podcast. It's called Citizens of Pawnee. Everybody can follow and take a look. You also have a meme account, right?
I have one for Citizens of Pawnee. That's just Citizens of Pawnee podcast if you want to check that out. I actually have, I also have Parks and Rec. I kind of got in early and you put the word meme in there. It's not really memes, though. It's actually more so just scenes from the show. So it should actually just be Parks Rec scenes. But the page, though, is called Parks Rec Memes, one word. And that's just, just scenes from the show. So
cool. Well, I will definitely tag you in all those things because the more we can talk about it, the more we can spread the word.
Absolutely.
But you were mentioning too, before we got on like the official recording, that you don't get to talk about Parks as much to like adults that are also insanely crazy about the fandom. So I'm very excited that we get to do this and that we're just expanding the universe, because I have friends on my pod, obviously, that are also really interested in talking about it. But I don't always talk. This is what we started the whole podcast for, was to like talk to other like, you know, amazing weirdo freaks that love Parks.
When you reached out to me about, being on the episode, I kind of talked to you. It's like how I don't really have guests on mine. And it's not that I don't want guests, because I mean, God, it's hard enough for me to like fill 45 minutes just talking by myself. But it's definitely something I'd like to do moving forward. So I mean, like, you know, I want to have you and Maddie possibly on the show. And then just looking at your repertoire of guests that you've had, I mean, it's just like jaw dropping for me, because it's like, why don't I even try? But it's like, and your guest list is incredible. So congrats on that.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. We've been so lucky. I mean, I have talked, all the people that I've talked to, though, have been so kind to me. And that's really just about the show, I feel. And because the fans, I think, really, or it comes from the top down. So like the fans are just as nice as the people on the show. And so many guest stars that I've talked to have been like, this was the nicest cast I've ever worked with. And it all starts with Amy Poehler. And so I think that really extends to the fandom. So that's really nice.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I was watching Live Ammo this morning, and my daughter came down. She's 9, and she recognized the voice from Inside Out, you know, for Amy Poehler. So that's her. That's Joy. I think it's Joy, right?
Yes, and I also need to watch Duncanville, which is her other voice acting thing. Have you heard of this?
I have not heard of that, no.
Okay, she created a show that with some other Parks people, and it's called Duncanville, and I don't think it's as widely popular. I don't know why or where it was, but I'll have to post the show notes in there, or post that show in the show notes. So, anyhow. Okay, cool. So, Live Ammo. Let's get going. you'll notice I have a lot of tangents, so that's fine. We all do. Okay. So this was written by Dave King and Chelsea Peretti, which we'll talk about her cameo a little later on. So exciting. Yep. But Dave King is like a major TV comedy writer. He's written 7 episodes of Parks, including this one. We've seen him on Citizen Nope. Amazing episode. And Citizen Nope is that one with the line of the milkshake where she's like, I'm one pulling at 1%, you know, like the bottom of the milkshake and the little metal thing. I really hope that he wrote that line.
Dave King is one of the Lerpuses, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah, he actually, I believe Dave King, he plays the rabbi, correct? And like at John Ralphio's, you know what? Am I thinking of the wrong guy? Because totally
the Lerpus
wrong.
Is, what's his name, with the like big beard, right?
Yeah, well, there's Herman is the one that works at like the pawn shop. He's always got like the black like dago tee on, and he's kind of scuzzy guy. There's the he played.
I'm trying to look at what he looks like.
Yeah, I'm.
But he doesn't have a lot of pictures.
There's
So either way,
I'm so sorry. Yeah, I'm so sorry to bust into it, but. If it's the right guy, because I know he's one of the right. Wait, no.
Let me see. Oh yeah, he played. I've seen him. Oh gosh, I can't remember. You're right though. He is. He's definitely on the show, but I can't remember what he does on the show.
Because one of the Lerpuses, one of them is Little Sebastian's handler in the episode where right before Leslie and Ben get married, when they see the fake Little Sebastian across the street. The handler. It's the same actor that plays the rabbi at John Ralphio's funeral that starts chasing him when he realizes. That's if that's Dave King, that's one of the Lerpuses.
Okay. I bet you're right. Yeah.
But anyway, sorry.
I can't. No, I totally get it. Because in one of the episodes, there is another guy that's sitting at the bar when Chris is reading his book that he sees April and Andy, like after he passes
Limitless.
His exam. Yeah, Limitless.
L-I-M-B.
Yes, exactly. And that guy is a UCB dude that he's like sitting at the bar with that he like considers his friend. And that is, I think that's a Lerpus as well, but that's not Dave King. So I did hear that there's like a family in Pawnee that they've created. So
oh, yeah, there,
we'll do
I
that
actually,
as a recap.
Yeah, I did a on my on Citizens of Pawnee. I actually, because part of what I do is just character breakdowns. And actually, yes, I did a whole episode on the Lerpus family. So I forgot what episode it is, but you can check those out. But yeah, actually,
that's
also
amazing.
in that episode I did, because I found somewhere online Michael Schur's top 10 list of his favorite Parks and Rec character names. That was just awesome. I mean, if you're ever bored, go on IMDb. Once you start getting down to the background actors that are only in one episode, the best names, the funniest names.
I know,
I mean,
one of them
great.
Is Bjorn or something.
There's a Bjorn Lerpus. He's one of the Lerpuses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bjorn Lerpus is not Dave King. Bjorn Lerpus is the other fellow that is
Bjorn
talking
is,
to Chris at the bar.
Bjorn is the one that's always like, hey, I thought you were going to put a paunch burger here. He's like the bigger dude.
But they taste real good.
Yeah, yeah. And Andy, in one of the episode when him and April are trying to pick up tips at the Snake Hole Lounge, he's the guy that like he tips Andy, but Andy doesn't have anything to give him. He's like,
right.
I don't have any gum.
Yes.
But yeah.
Yes.
And then what's his name? Jason Schwartzman, the one who runs the video dome. He's one of the Lerpuses too. Dennis.
Oh my God, that is hilarious. Yeah. I didn't know there was more than two Lerpuses. I've
only
seen two.
There's nine that I have found. Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay, thank you for explaining that to me.
But,
wow.
Yeah. Okay, I'm so sorry. Let's get back to live ammo.
No, we needed to know that. Okay, because I would have spent my whole time, I would have spent the whole time thinking, wait, I thought there was only two, but now that there's nine, Dave King really could be a Lerpus. So, okay, good to know. Hmm. We'll talk about that with Mike Schur when we get him, maybe one day.
Nice, yeah. I want to be back on for that one, by the way.
Absolutely. Okay, so Dave King also wrote Two Parties, Partridge, a few more episodes in season 6 and 7. He was also a writer on Workaholics. Last Call with Carson Daly was a huge show that he wrote for in the early 2000s, which is funny. And then he also wrote an episode of The Good Place. And then he was also one of the writers on the TV special of Parks in 2020 or whenever that was. And Reboot. Not Reboot. It was the something else that he... Because Reboot is a thing. Was it Loot maybe that he wrote on? Regardless, he's just a huge comedy writer. So that's who wrote this episode. And then this was directed by Tristram Shapiro, who is also an amazing comedy director. And he's known for 800,000 things. I have Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Community, Never Have I Ever, Veep, Superstore. I mean, his IMDb goes on for like days with all of these things. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is also in the Scherverse, New Girl. He was also nominated for 8 BAFTA awards. So that's amazing. And I know he's a big one. But for Parks, though, so far, we've seen his direction in 94 Meetings, The Possum, amazing episode. And then his last episode. I know. And then his last episode to direct will be Partridge next season. So we have like an amazing dream team, I feel, today.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, so this is where Maddie's summary is going to go. She sent me a summary. We usually put our summary here. And she said that there was some dogs barking and her baby is gurgling in the back. So I am excited to hear that.
So, nice.
Okay, let me just play that.
Okay, we are on live ammo. We are moving so quickly through this show. It's crazy. Killian says hi. That was his little grunt in the background. So I have a summary for live ammo. Things get messy for Leslie when she decides to put her run for city council at risk when she learns that the park's budget is going to be cut. Chris scopes out Ron for a new position in city government, and April learns some of the hard parts of Leslie's job. I have to do a shout out here because I love Chelsea Peretti and I love that she makes a, little, appearance here, with April. Also love April's little hamster penis comment. I think that's very unprofessional, but very April, and kind of just shows that she doesn't want to deal with the crap that Leslie deals with. You totally get to see Leslie's spirit here. in this episode because she really is just does not want to give up anybody's job. She doesn't want to lose money anywhere. But I really like that this councilman really makes her look and say, hey, this job is not going to always be fun and you're going to have to make these really tough decisions, because I think Leslie has this outlook of being on city council is her next goal and it's going to be wonderful and beautiful and perfect when she gets there. And when you make these position, you jump into these positions of power, there are always negatives that come with it as well because of kind of that role you have to play. You have to be the bad guy sometimes. So I think this is a great way for her to kind of learn that before she steps into the role. I think we also see Leslie's love for the town, that she's willing to put her campaign at risk in order for Anne to keep her job and for the animal shelters to still be around and for the parks department to keep their budget, obviously. So I think that's great too. I think it's a testament to who she is, obviously. And again, I just absolutely love Jen Barkley and always, and Catherine Hahn. And it's just, I love having her here and I'm so happy that she's here for the rest of, most of the rest of the season kind of, and that she kind of comes back later too. Yeah. So those are my thoughts and feelings and the summary for this episode. I hope you have fun, reviewing it. I wish I was there.
Yay. Oh my gosh.
All right.
Jen Barkley. So good. And we'll get there when we get there. But yeah, that was, I'm going to skip ahead just a tiny bit and say that I absolutely love the ending of this episode where Leslie is like, because your guy has to open his mouth and I'm going to kick his ass.
Can I actually wrote down this, in my opinion, this scene right here with Ben and Leslie is like peak Ben and Leslie, like at their best, just like bring it on. Like everything that Jen says back to them, they're just kind of like, okay, go ahead. And I just, you can, like, I don't know, the acting is fantastic. Just how Ben is watching Leslie just kind of like, yep, like almost like they rehearsed this. It's just, it's fantastic. Yeah. It's one of my favorite Ben and Leslie versus someone scene. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Their partnership is so beautiful here and this whole episode. And especially, like, we've talked about this frequently where, you know, Leslie said before the campaign, before the trial and all this stuff, that he was poisoned to the campaign. But we learned that he's only poisoned to the campaign when he's not a part of the campaign.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's amazing. But yes, okay. Can't wait to get there. Okay, this is also random, but I did write a note that Jim O'Hare, aka Jerry, is writing a Parks and Rec book, apparently. Like, I learned that on his podcast that he talked
about
it. So just FYI.
Yeah. You know what? Do you listen to that regularly? Parks and Recollection?
No, not all the time. But I listen sometimes, but it's not a regular occurrence.
Yeah, they've been on a break actually since the writer's strike. They haven't, like, they went on since that and they haven't come back. So, I mean, I check every Tuesday because it's a fun one, you know, obviously just them being there, you know, it's like an office ladies type. But yeah, anyway, it's a great show. So go on.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely don't go as deep of a dive as us. But I mean, at the same, I'm just, sometimes I listen and I'm just like, you guys are just summarizing the episode. Like you didn't talk about anything, but sometimes they do. So, you know, it's obviously every episode's going to be different or every show is going to be different. But anyway, I had a couple of just notes to get started with. Okay, the line slash name of the episode, you probably found this too, with the "We Play With Live Ammo," is a line directly from The West Wing. And it was said by Rob Lowe's character, Sam Seaborn, in The West Wing, which they starred in together, Bradley Whitford, who plays this councilman, and Councilman Pilner. So I thought that was an amazing little nod to them. I knew they worked together, and I wish they had been in a scene together, because that would have been so cool to see. But you know, what are you gonna do? It doesn't always work out that way.
I really
watch West Wing.
I was just gonna say, I have to admit, I have not watched the West Wing, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I know everyone's just kind of like, well, that's like the serious version of Parks. It's like, well, I don't know, I'll get to it when I get to it. So
No, totally. And I saw in my research that now that you said that for this particular episode, the creators of Parks thought that that's, I mean, I don't think I knew that actually, that they had used that mantra of this is a funny West Wing, like to really inspire so many of the moves and the stories and things like that. Greg Daniels and Greg Levine, who is on the Parks and Recollection episode or podcast with Jim O'Hare, said that West Wing was like one of their favorite shows. And Greg Levine did say that, that he met Greg Daniels and they just went on this huge tangent of how much they loved the West Wing. And that's like what kind of bonded them. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting. I did not think about that.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting when you hear stuff like that. That's why, I mean, like, just for that show, like you said, they don't go as deep. But I mean, just hearing it from, you know, people that were there. So pretty interesting.
Absolutely. And I mean, I would say in every episode, there's at least one little nugget that I think is interesting. So, you know.
Yeah.
And then another thing is that Ben is seen in this episode holding a copy of the Journal and Courier newspaper, which is a salute to the real life Indiana newspaper in Lafayette, the city of Lafayette in Indiana, upon which the Pawnee Journal is based. So I thought that was so interesting.
Okay. Yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're getting started with the episode. This cold open starts with Leslie sneaking into Tom's apartment in her sneak around clothes. Like, where else is she sneaking around? Why does she have these clothes?
Well, I love, too, that when she's already in the apartment, after Anne said he's not here, she's still crouching down. And yeah, like you said, she had to wear that there. Like, was she doing this running in between, like, you know, from her car to the apartment? Just so, yeah, it's great.
I have to imagine that maybe she was using this when her and Ben were sneaking around. Like, she created a whole persona for it. I don't know.
That makes sense. Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. But what's funny also, I don't know if you noticed this, but this looks like a house to me, not an apartment, like on the outside. Because, you know, we've been on the outside of Tom's apartment before when him and Lucy are together and Leslie's like trying to talk to him for whatever reason. Yeah. And it just looks different. So I think this is a different location. I couldn't confirm that, but it looks totally different to me.
Hmm. Yeah. No, I guess I haven't thought of that. But yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah. But anyway, the reason she's there is because Anne is like, oh, my God, you have to come over. There's so many things, so many amenities. I don't know how you feel. Me and Maddie and just myself have been so annoyed with the Tom and Anne relationship going on for this long.
I
understand why it's comedy, but I don't understand why it has lasted this long.
The Anne and Tom thing, and I actually on the Parks Rec memes page, like a couple years back, I was doing a thing where I was just running, like I for a while I kept running tournaments, and one of the tournaments I did was the worst thing about the show, and I believe Tom and Anne dating won. So I agree 100%. I hate it so much. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. And I mean,
no,
I don't know. We talked a little bit before we started recording the show. I was telling you a little bit about my wife, how much I irritate her with the show. She knows everything about it. She doesn't really follow it, but she hates that, like the whole Anne thing. I think because she really likes Rashida Jones, so I think that's one thing about the character she just doesn't get. It's like, why do they keep making her date everyone? Like, it doesn't make any sense, you know? So, I absolutely hated it. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, in the first couple of episodes when they do it, it's like, or when they like start off dating and everything, I'm like, okay, like that makes sense. And somebody made the point that it's like, and I mean, it makes sense in the realm of like where she might go next, because during that Valentine's Day dance, he was the only one that like laughed at, like made her laugh and whatever. So I was like, okay, whatever, might as well try it. I don't know. But I don't know. It's just like the continuation of it. But somebody made the point that this was one of the really few relationships that where we see Anne has the upper hand.
Yeah,
most of the time,
true.
She's like following somebody else and like wearing cowboy outfits to fit in with her boyfriend. But this one is one where she's just like, no, goodbye. Like,
No, that's a good point. Very good point.
But anyway, this one, I would say the two good comedy moments to come out of it, though, is the studio where Tom sings the, baby, I'm sorry, that thing for how I act. liked it, that one, and then this, because this amenity thing is so interesting to me. And I love Anne's talking head of, I think I'm ready to say I love you to his apartment.
Which I had to write down that that kind of reminds, and I'm like, do you guys, are you like spoilers on the show? Do you jump ahead at all or do you try
yes.
to stay work?
Oh, yeah, okay. Definitely.
All right, so in season, I think it's like season six, the part where she shows us her hand and she's like, oh, no, it's a, like, because you thought she was showing, well, we yes. thought she was showing an engagement ring, but she's like, oh, no, I just got my nails done. Like, it kind of reminded yeah. me of that, like the swerve where you're like,
that's
wait, so
true.
What? And it's like, oh, okay. And then also.
Yeah, they got a manicure together.
Yeah, and then also another thing, sorry, jumping ahead, is just right here when Anne talks about the unisex cologne. It reminds me when I think, yeah, this is also season six when Tom and Ben start working with that guy, Mitch Savner, the chemicals guy, and you know, oh. the guy that he invests in the show or in Tom's restaurant. Yeah. But anyway, the unisex part, when Ben's just like, oh, yeah, he's like, I use your unisex toothpaste. It's like pearlies for girlies. He's like, the unisex princess says so. Like he shows it to Ben. You know, he's like, the unisex princess on the side says so. So
I totally forgot yeah, that. Oh, my
his
God.
Unisex,
that is so true.
Everything.
Pearlies for girlies. That is
pearlies
brilliant.
For girlies, yeah. And also well, the 80 them, degrees. It's... How do you feel about the 80 degree temperature?
It's too hot.
Yeah,
I can't do it. No. I don't like 80 degrees.
We keep mine at like 67, 68 maybe around here. So yeah, 80 is like no.
No. Maybe if you're outside with a beach, 80 is great. But
yeah, sure.
No, not inside.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, and the eye cream Sudoku books. I love his towels with the monogram. Oh my God.
It's so like cute. Going through like a TJ Maxx or like a Home Goods, like when you're
yeah!
in, you know, and when you're actually in line and everything, you're just like, I didn't even have to go shopping. I could have just you know, in this little maze just getting to the front. But yeah, amenities are great. I love amenities.
I love an amenity so much. And then the soft blankets, I do like that they said he's deeply in debt, because it's definitely like, how is this happening? But he lives in constant treat yourself mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he talks about it when they go camping to Ben. He's just like, I just cry and return everything because no one likes hearing a grown man cry.
That's so true.
Like, yeah. Yeah. It's like, I don't know
oh
why I don't
God.
Use that more often, but.
Well, you'd really have to sink to a level of Tom, yeah. so Ugh. It's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're at City Hall, and Leslie is waiting for Councilman Pilner, who is played by, of course, our incredible Bradley Whitford of West Wing fame,
Love
which
him.
Is so amazing. So good. Mm.
So, real quick, is this, besides we meet Paula Hork, in the garbage episode, is this the only other councilman we actually meet besides like Leslie's, the group, the ones that she's with? Because we see that city council wall all the time, but I think this mm-hmm. is the only active city councilor we meet besides like, well, Paula Hork, she's the one that she's retired. She was the one that said all the guys were like looking up her dress. But yeah, I believe this
oh,
is the
sure.
only. Yeah. Remember that episode? Yeah. She's yeah. But
yeah.
Yeah. So besides like the four that Leslie is with, oh, and then I guess, what's her name? The one that takes over for her, Ingrid DeForest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, are you including, like, Dexhart in that? Because
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying besides the group, besides the four councilmen that she serves
oh.
with, I'm saying I think Pilner is the only
yes.
one we see that, yeah, that she doesn't serve with, who's, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, you're right. We saw, yeah, because she, Hauser comes in this one as well, but again, she serves with him. So yeah, I think yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
But yeah, Bradley Whitford, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's so good. And this is where, and I noticed this before I even heard about the whole West Wing inspiration, but as they're walking down the hallway, I was like, oh my gosh, this is totally West Wing. And then lo and behold, I looked up and this was a total nod to how they filmed on West Wing and just, you know, walking and talking.
Yep.
That's famous for that. And they also stop really fast, though, because I feel like in West Wing, they're like, it's a long walk and talk. I've seen clips. Obviously, I haven't seen the entire show, but it's a long walk and talk to memorize everything. And especially with Aaron Sorkin, how you are, that must have been a nice thing for him, too, because Aaron Sorkin's very word perfect. I'm sure you've heard these stories where if you get the mixed up with like they or something like, or something stupid, he'll stop you. And there are, and it's not just him. They like have people, script advisors and stuff on there that will stop you. But this is a total different thing for him to have that improv, but also a little bit loosey-goosey with how they're walking and how short, because it was a short time. Yeah. So that must have been a nice break for him. But for those of you who don't know about the amazing movie or amazing movies that he's been in, he was in Get Out. He was in Saving Mr. Banks. He's like really popular on Handmaid's Tale, which I only watched, I think, the first or second episode of that. Or no, first or second season of that. And then it got too tough for me, so I stopped.
It's a rough show. It's a very tough show. Yeah, I'm all caught up on that. I guess there's one more season. It's like I'm excited, but I'm also dreading it. But he's fantastic.
I know. Yes, he's so good. He also plays, I don't know if you've seen Tick, Tick, Boom on Netflix. It's such a good movie. But he plays Sondheim. It's a musical. He plays Sondheim. And it's he's a brief second, but it's amazing. And then I was looking up pictures of him, and I was like, he's like Steve Carell, where he's just getting hotter as he gets older. Like, he is like a fine wine. Oh, my God. He's... that, like, gray hair.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's so funny because I remember seeing him in, like, I think the first movie I remember him from was Revenge of the Nerds 2. And it's one of those things where, like, I was young seeing it and he was like an adult in that movie. So now I can never picture it. So like when I even watch him as a young guy, he still looks like an adult to me. So like even in like Billy Madison, which is one of, you know, and he plays a great villain in that. But I just love that he's stayed relevant, you know.
Yeah, totally. Oh, my gosh. And it's so wonderful that they got him because, I mean, I'm sure with their West Wing, like, you know, fandom, they were freaking out that they finally got him, you know. So that's wonderful. Okay, so Leslie asks for a moment of his time and he's like, make it quick. But then she goes into like this crazy tangent talking about a Ken Burns documentary. But basically, we find out that he's reducing the parks budget by 8%. And she's like, that cannot happen. And I don't know. I am not a government person, so whatever. But I feel like 8% isn't that terrible. But to Leslie, this is unacceptable.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because I mean, like, if I knew what their budget was... I mean, if their budget's,
true.
You know, if their budget's $100, yeah, that's almost 10% of it, I guess. But that's a good point,
fair.
Though. It does seem kind of low. So,
yeah. But yeah, you're right. The budget is not going to be high for a Parks and Rec department. So maybe that is a really huge hit to them. But my favorite line here is when she says that she's gotten really close to the council people because of her campaign. And she's like, if you hear any of them talking about that blonde pain in the ass, that's a me.
Yeah, she throws in like
really
the Italian.
I related to that line.
To me. That's great. I also love, too, how she's just like, I have something to tell you. It'll be quick. And they start walking. He's like, way quicker. And like, talk faster.
Yes. Right, exactly. Oh, my God. Well, especially with, I don't know, that might have been a nod to West Wing as well, because they talk really fast on that show, too.
Yeah, that's a good point. I wonder if that was.
But I also, I just really related to that line of like, if you hear anybody talking about that crazy person, it's me.
That's me. She's so proud of it, too. That's me.
Absolutely. But anyway, Pilmer says that the budget's finalized. There's nothing we can do. So she tries to pull out an illustration of how it will affect the parks department. And she puts a face to the name, pulls out a picture of a girl who's enrolled in 5 parks programs. And they're the only thing between a life of tube tops, tribal tattoos, and barfing in hot tubs. Oh, my God.
You know, it's... First of all, I gotta credit this show. Like, I love, because I just did Pawnee Rangers on mine. The amount of children they use on this show who are actually like relevant characters. I mean, granted, for this one, you only see a picture of the kid. But yeah, it's, and the jump ahead later, I mean, it's just along the lines of like Leslie's just ridiculous thinking when she tells Anne, like, to get out of a life of shaving wieners and, like, you know, breaking up meth heads, like, talking, you know, like, what Leslie's perception is of that, the Pawnee Hospital, you know?
Yes. Yes. Oh my God, that's so hilarious. And I did, yeah, speaking of that, I tried to look up who this girl was, like, in real life, but I couldn't find her. You know, I would have reached out, but she wasn't listed anywhere. So if you are that girl, reach out to me. I'd love to hear it. Anyway, so he says, okay, fine, I'll find the cut somewhere else. Government, like, I don't know their percentage rates. I just wrote that note later on. But anyway, so we're finding the cut somewhere else. So now we're meeting at with April. We have Donna there and Tom is there. April has a little blazer on. She's being so professional, I feel.
Yes, she is, yeah.
Or she's trying.
She does look actually noticeably, like, more mature, I feel, in this. I don't know, maybe just this moment, but
right. Well, I've definitely noticed a change in her as the show goes on, especially from, like, season one and two on, like, how more, a little bit more professional she's dressing and, like, a little more office look kind of vibes instead of, like, teenager hoodie thing, you know?
Yeah.
She started when she was young, though, so it's not like I would expect her to, but it is nice to see that fashion or the costume designer is kind of also illustrating that, too.
Totally. I agree.
And I guess, so I read somewhere that this is, or maybe it was in a deleted scene or something, that this is a press conference, but I did not get that vibe at all. I got a vibe of this was just like a committee, that these people are on this committee. So I'm very confused on what this actually is, but anyway.
I don't know. I would have to, are there any press in there? I mean, that would be a press, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, there wasn't any, like, there weren't any cameras or anything like that, but it was just like, were these reporters? I don't know. I don't think that that's right. Mm. Or at least it doesn't, that's not what I get. But anyway, I think it was because maybe they said that on Parks and Recollection. I don't know what, I don't know where I got that, but somebody said that, and I don't think that's what the audience gets from it. But anyhow,
yeah, no,
it's a committee. Yeah. Okay. And they're asking what the chain of command for on-site responses are. And this is where Chelsea Peretti comes in as her cameo. We know her from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. She co-wrote this episode. And she's been a writer / story editor on Parks. She has some comedy specials. She has a new movie coming out called First Time Female Director that looks so good. It's making the rounds at film festivals. I think it'll be out for streaming next month. And it's so funny. The cast is great. I want to say Megan Mullally might make an appearance in that movie, actually. And a couple of TikTok stars that are so freaking hilarious. I call them TikTok stars, but they were comedians and everything long before they were that. So
gotcha.
But yeah. Okay. Fun fact, you might have caught this, but fun fact that her character name is Zelda.
Zelda, yeah. Yeah, I love that she essentially just plays her character from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is just very smug. Almost like, which we'll get to it again, but Bradley Whitford, how high and mighty he acts when he's talking about putting ships in bottles, you know, but I mean, she, as Zelda, she is definitely not cutting April any slack here, because, you know, April does kind of say something stupid, which is just like, whoever gets there first, they can take care of it. And she's like, okay, so if sanitation gets there, you know, to the explosion in Ramsett Park, are they taking care of it? And then Mr. Hamster Penis jumps in and he's got something to say.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so Mr. Hamster Penis is played by Billy Merritt, and he has been in Weeds, Happy Endings, Adam Ruins Everything, which I love that show. He's also a huge improv guy with UCBs, which makes total sense. So many UCB people are in this show. He was also in something from Rob Riggle has, like, a Ski Master Academy show that he was a really big part of, so that's interesting. I didn't even know about it until I saw it on IMDb. His character name is Scott. A little less exciting than Zelda, but
okay, Scott.
Right. Oh, Scott. And I did talk
like Scott Giles or something. I think his last name was Giles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Giles.
Giles. There you go.
Yes. Totally. Yeah. And I did message him. He messaged me back. And so I'm sure he'll send in some voice memos, or I'll talk to him about what his time was like on the show. But he couldn't get back to me in time. So that's okay. I'll add it to the next episode. But he seemed
that's
nice.
Cool.
So we'll see what happens with that.
Very cool.
Yeah. And then this is where April has her talking head and says that she has no idea how awful Leslie's job was. She called this like a, what did she call it? Like fun time.
It's like a nonstop
adventure ride or something.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that.
And I love here how I think, I mean, it irritates the hell out of me, but I just love the acting here by Aziz, how just literally he is not in at all. I mean, he is just literally sitting up there. What does he say? Running Twitter ideas past Russell Simmons, you know,
yes.
On Twitter. And it's just so the way he looks up at her, just kind of like running ideas past him on Twitter. Like he literally is just like, that's what I'm doing. Like he's not trying to, you know, it's just great. Yeah. And
yeah,
even Donna makes a
he
face
too,
kind of like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't have any idea. Yeah. I know. And that's kind of like, I don't know. That is sad for April a little bit, where she's like, where what's his face? Scott, aka Hamster Penis, is like, do you even have any idea what you're doing here? And it is kind of a blow to April, I think. I mean, she obviously goes into her defense mechanism and is like, okay, I'm just going to be mean to you.
Yeah.
But I think it does hit her a little bit that, like, no, I don't actually. And it's kind of scary.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, she does basically say that, but yeah, I think that's when it kind of hits her, too, just like, oh my god. Like, Leslie, she does all of this stuff with a smile on her face all the time, so it might seem to other people that it's like, all right, it's not that big a deal, it's not that tough to do, but yeah, she's obviously built differently, so.
Yeah. I also did not know, if I can be completely transparent, I didn't know who Russell Simmons was. I know what his brands are, but I didn't know that name. And it makes total sense that Tom's into him because he is an entrepreneur, obviously.
Yeah.
But he also co-created Def Jam Records, total Tom thing, has a bunch of clothing lines for those of you who also don't know. That is what he just looks up. I could totally see Tom looking up to him. So
absolutely.
Clear the air.
Fat farm, baby fat. Yeah, this guy,
he definitely
with the Def Jam. I mean, like, he was big, like, yeah, I don't, in my junior high days, Russell Simmons was a huge name. Obviously, he's still a big name, but.
Yeah. And I also love the idea that he's bouncing business ideas off of him, but he's probably just tagging him in his tweets. he's not actually going back and forth.
That's why I love the balls with Tom. I mean, like, when he wanted to, just how. I guess the tenacity too, and like just the go-getter attitude, like when he wanted to start doing collabs with Dennis Feinstein, just out of nowhere, you know, and he starts talking, he's like, I don't know, I haven't thought that much about it, but this is after he's already given like five steps, and it's like, but I don't know, I haven't thought that much about it. But yeah, so it can,
Are you a fan of The Office?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, because it reminds me of some people are either Parks and Rec or The Office, so it's very interesting.
Both.
But I'm both. Okay, great. No, it really reminds me of Ryan when he's making woof.com and he's like, most of these guys are just johnlegend@me.com.
Yeah. I actually watched that episode last night, to be honest. It was on
Woof
one. Yeah, woof.com.
Oh my god, amazing. But anyway, so that was a really fun Tom moment, even though it was so tiny. So now we're with Chris, and he's coming to Ron to say that Ron is a finalist for assistant city manager. And Ron is like, okay, I'll walk further into the belly of the beast if I can stop government spending. And then this is where I'm kind of reminded, I don't know, that it's one of those moments where it's like Ron is so fun as a character, but in real life, I feel like this would be really so dangerous, like taking out the traffic lights and the post office. No.
No, and it's really funny later on in the episode when Chris comes to tell him, he's like, hey, I might have guaranteed you a job that's not there. But when Ron's like, hey, I got a couple more ideas, and Chris just tells him, he's like, though your idea is insane and doesn't make any sense. But I love that. Yes, Chris is basically like, he's letting Ron talk, but he's not, it's none of this is ever going to happen, you know?
Right. Yeah, they definitely make it like way over the top to make sure that you know that this is a comedy show.
Absolutely. Remove the post office. It's like, come on, you know. And
come on.
Can I one thing I wanted to point out, actually, an Easter egg. I don't know if you watch The Good Place. Yeah, the city council wall that they show all the time, the one that Ron is standing in front of. This is the one that Leslie points out in like one of the earlier episodes.
Yeah.
They actually show a row of these city councilors are in The Bad Place, like in the show,
oh my
The Good
God!
Place. Yeah. So in season four, I think it's season four, when they're actually in The Bad Place, there's like a hall of fame for like the worst people. And it's these city councilors. Like literally.
Oh my God, I had no idea.
Yeah, in season, the first time they show him, when Leslie's like, I don't like walking past because this guy always looks like he's looking at my boobs. You recognize that guy. And then, yeah, so it's not the entire wall, but it's like an entire, like, and it's awesome. It's a great Easter egg. So, yeah, if you watch The Good Place,
God, that's so cool.
Check out season four. Yeah, when they're actually in The Bad Place. So,
okay.
Easter egg.
I've really got to. That's not one that I just have on in the background. I know it could be. I'm not one that I can quote that. So I definitely need to make sure that that's in my arsenal. But did you know the Easter eggs of those city councilors? Some of them are producers on the show.
I didn't know for sure. I had a feeling though. Usually when you see a lot of random names, it's usually something like that. But no, okay, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, one of them, the one with the glasses, is Norm Hiscock, who we actually interviewed, which is hilarious. And he was he is a producer and a writer and story editor, all those things.
Oh,
and
then
the other one's Morgan Sackett, who has been like, you know, on everything in the Sherverse. So it's so fun. I love when they do that. I love it.
Yeah, there's
awesome.
A couple
well, great
other.
To know. I'll have to keep an eye out.
Yeah, there's when we were talking before about Bjorn Lurpus, actually, his name is also in The Good Place. When they show like a ranking system, he's number three somehow. So Bjorn Lurpus went from the guy we know from Parks and Rec to being like the third best person up in The Good Place. So, but yeah, that's kind of weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now Chris is saying that they need to go to meditation so they can be together and do activities to see how they'd work together and be in each other's environment. So I guess they're going to do that. And this is where we get to Ben talking to Leslie saying, like, we need to strategize before you go talk to a city councilor because you're thinking more like a parks employee, not a city councilor. And then we have this, like, moment where Leslie has, like, a sexy feel-good situation. And I thought Adam Scott did such a great job of, like, wait, I love this, but also what are you doing? But also, wait, what is happening?
Yeah, she's like, I got some juice, baby. Yeah, she's very excited. It's great acting. It's just they're so good together.
Yes!
And also, I had to point out, when they show Andy's gold record on the wall, you can see the hole from when he put the hammer.
Oh my God!
I never noticed that. Yeah, you can see the hammer hole from when he got the concussion, like from hitting his head.
Oh my God,
remember,
I did not even see that hole.
Yeah, when they went to doctor,
you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah, you can see the small hole there. It's great.
He sneezed and hit the wall.
Yeah,
yep, that sounds about right. Okay, so it is cute, side note, as another background catch, that they have people in the living room volunteering to help. I don't know, I just think it's really interesting and lovely that every time we see the April and Andy's house, there's one or two volunteers working with them. So I think that's cute.
Yeah, cool.
And then now we're at the Parks Department office and there's a line of people waiting to be helped. And April is asking Tom for help in this wild moment of wisdom from Tom, where he says, you know, you need to find a project that you're passionate about. And like, you get out of a job what you put in, which is what Leslie says. And this is where he gets funny with it, where he talks about the snake hole. He was good at naming drinks because he cared a great deal about signature beverages. The Beyonce Knowles. Beyonce Knowles.
Beyonce. And the Jay Zima.
Yeah, the Jay Zima. Perfect timing for the release of Beyonce's new record. So great.
You know, what's kind of funny about this, actually, I hate like calling BS on Parks and Rec, but I actually, because I don't think I've ever tried Zima, but like when I was growing up, Zima was like one of the funnier ones because it was kind of like what you would like White Claw, those kind of drinks now, like the seltzer ones. But anyway, so Tom says in this episode here that they bought all the supplies when the factory shut down. So this episode's in 2012, but Zima shut down in 2008. So,
love that.
Just saying. So it's like, unless him and John Ralphio have been hoarding this liquor for 4 years, it's like, so yeah, Zima. Yeah, it came. They sold it in Japan until 2021, but I guess now it's completely done. So Yeah, that's my
Okay.
deep dive on
Yeah.
Nima.
No, I do the same thing. Sometimes I'm like, I love you, Parks, but that might not have been completely accurate. They didn't expect people would be fact-checking them like 12 years later.
Yep, well,
Listen, that's our job. So,
that's
anyways,
right.
I do love though that Beyonce is just a regular beer, but in a sexy ass mug.
Sexy ass mug.
Okay, so I also saw in a deleted scene that he's only doing this because I was like really excited about Tom, but I was I'm kind of glad they cut it so that I can keep my fantasy. But basically, he's only doing this slash guiding April so he doesn't have to work, which makes so much sense. But I'm also
Yep.
kind of glad that they cut it, like I said, because I liked the wisdom from
I am
his
too, and
speech.
actually when he shows up at her house later to kind of motivate her, yeah. Now it's like,
Yes.
really? Like that's 'cause when I was watching it this morning, it was just like I'm surprised they're not showing like what his real intentions are, but I have never seen that deleted scene. That's funny you say that. Like, ah.
Yeah. But
But
I
good
think, I
move,
mean,
yeah.
in my head canon, if you will, is what I call it, my fantasy world, the fandom, I would say that like he could have started off this way wanting April to just do all the work so he doesn't have to do anything. But I think by the time he gets to her house, he's like, okay, I would assume that he was actually being genuine. So, because that's doing more work than, you know, if he would actually just do the job. You know what I'm saying? So I
Yeah.
think that's how the trajectory is what I'm going to stick to.
I'll agree with you.
Okay.
Good one.
So, anyways, Ron pretends to give Anne paper so we can talk to her, which is hilarious.
I had to write that down. That is wonderful to me. It's like, is he worried someone's gonna see him walk up to Anne and start? You know what I mean? That's what's so funny about it is that he needs an excuse to, Ron, there's nothing in here. Oh, okay, great. Hey, you know, I love that he, I don't know if it's insecurity or if that's, you know, more along Ron's lines of how, you know, he'll call people by the wrong name just if they're getting too close. So if this was a way of him making it like, we're not friends, I'm not here to talk to you. I needed a reason to ask you. You know what I mean? I love that he has to
I
have like
totally
a
get it.
fake reason to go talk to Anne.
I wrote that too. I was like, is this showing his vulnerability a little? Because he like can't just go up and talk. He has to. Yeah, I
Yeah.
wonder that too. But yeah, he's asking Anne for tips on the meditation with Chris, and she's like, oh my gosh, okay, it's crazy boring. It lasts forever. You're gonna want to die. Do you want to borrow my yoga pants?
That's one of my favorite lines, and we didn't point it out earlier when when Chris told Ron, make sure you wear your yoga pants. Like that too. I just because actually Ron will wear yoga pants in season 7. Remember, he wears Craig's yoga pants. He's like, hey, you're
Yes.
stretching out my yoga pants.
Yes. But I also thought it was interesting because Chris isn't even wearing yoga pants. He's wearing sweats.
That's a good point. Good point.
Hello? But anyhow. Okay, so Ben comes back and says, you know, we're not good because about the campaign because the budget has to be cut somewhere. So now the animal shelter where Champion came from is going to be shut down so they can make up for that the parks getting the budget. And Andy doesn't understand. Ben's like, well, all the animals will be fine.
Fine.
Yeah, okay. No,
Okay.
the animals,
Oh.
no. Oh, so sad.
You know,
Okay.
I was actually, I guess, you know what? I'll wait till we get there. I'll wait till we get to until she actually gets the
Okay.
dogs.
I know, I do that too.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, now Jen Barkley is on Perd saying that Leslie Knope cares more about parks and the animals. And I just love this line so much. I'm not saying Leslie Knope is a dog murderer. I'm just saying her actions raise some questions, like, is she a dog murderer?
She's so good. I
It's so
mean, like,
perfect.
from when you first meet Catherine Hahn in this role, just the fact that she is, she's probably just so used to treating people like shit. So, I mean, like, you know, to her, it's like, she's like, no, guys, come on, it's all in good fun, though. It's like, you're destroying our lives. But to her, it's just like, oh, but you know what? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, the way that delivery on that
Totally.
is great. Yeah.
Well, I love the writing. Both the writing and the acting is so combined so well because I love that line when we first meet her that she says of like, Oh, I don't actually hate you, or like, this is not personal. I'm just doing my job. Like, mm-hmm. I like the back and forth of, you know, I actually do like you. I hope you win, you know, yep. But I also am paid to do a job. So I just mm-hmm. love that she can separate that so well. It's lovely. She's so good. And she really does use the perfect little puppy. Oh my gosh, that puppy is so freaking cute.
Leslie, someone's on the phone asking why you're going to kill her. Or was it the little girl can't go to sleep
because
she's worried? Yeah.
Jeez. Oh my God. Awful. This is where you were headed, where we find out the next morning that Leslie has adopted all the animals from the shelter so that they can save everyone and not cut the parks department like Ben is suggesting. Is that
a pig? Oh God, that is so funny. And I love how the pig's like scratching itself on the side of the fireplace. Yeah. Funny story, actually. Before we moved into this house, we had a neighbor actually that had a little potbelly pig that would walk it around, you know, just like down the street. And I mean, like, before you know what it is just like a lot of what the hell is that thing? Because I mean, they're cute animals, but they're also not, you know, like,
yeah, yeah.
But what I was going to say before about this part is I wonder, because in The Office, I think it's like one of the last episodes in season 8 when Champion is in the episode because Andy's doing like the dog adoption one. I was just curious if any of the dogs in this house were also in that. You know what I mean? Like maybe. If it was just like create or like people who worked on the show, if it was maybe their animals. I doubt it because they probably had to get a bunch of animals that would get along. But yeah, I just thought that was kind of curious. It's like, I wonder if any of these were like the orphan dogs that Andy was going to adopt in The Office. So
I know we'll have to maybe next time we watch The Office episode, see if there's any crossover because that would make sense. But I know that they like, it's so funny because when I was looking up where Lil Sebastian came from, they have all these like farms and stuff that are specific to animals that are, quote, I guess, used, rented, whatever, for TV shows specifically, and they're treated very nicely and all these things, and they have their handlers. So I do wonder if these dogs came from that same place, or I don't know, but yeah, that's really interesting how they use animals in this one.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so now Chris and Ron are at the meditation center, and there's a Greek restaurant next to it named Achilles Meal. Did you see
that? I love it. Absolutely. The wordplay on this show is fantastic.
Well, and the jokes that are so small and could be passed by if you don't look at it. I mean, it's just like maybe they'll catch it, maybe they're not, but it's or maybe they won't. But it's so lovely that they take the extra effort to do it.
And the,
oh, so good. I just puns.
The like the over the top like macho Greek guy. Excuse me, ladies. You know, like clearly, like these are not women, but I just love it. Yeah, and then also I love how Ron's head follows the bag. Like, because he smells it, you know, and it's so good how he...
Yes, I have that in my notes, too, that Ron is like a magnet to the meat. Like, whatever he's smelling, he just leans in and follows. It's so good. Oh, my God. That guy, though, who plays the restaurant worker is, like, huge now. He's named Greg Vratsos, I want to say, and he really is Greek. He really is Greek. It says online. He's from the Peloponnesian area of Greece. And he played Hellman in 22 episodes of Orange is the New Black, if you're a fan of that show. He was in the movie Boston Strangler. And then he was also, I think it might be current, actually, a show called Mayan MC, which is kind of like a spinoff slash like branch of Sons of Anarchy. And yeah, he's like a huge role on that, which I think is wonderful. And definitely like that big tough guy kind of persona that he has. He's kind of in every show, I feel like that. But he was also in an episode of New Girl. I am not as big of a New Girl like watcher, so I couldn't tell you which episode it was or when that happened. But and then he also played a prison guard in Horrible Bosses. But I just love seeing there are actually quite a few people who are like really big time after these teeny parts in Parks. Like we talked about how Anne was a cowboy, dating a cowboy That guy like went on to be the main role in Social Network and has done a ton of other stuff. I was like, what? It's crazy.
That is awesome. Great.
Anyway, so Ron decides to stand in the meditation, and woof, they are in for it. This is where I wrote that Chris is not wearing yoga pants. He's wearing sweats. So
good call.
Just saying,
good call.
Chris. But I think I would try this once. I don't know. I've never done a meditation thing like this. Have you?
No. See, and that's kind of what I wonder. Was Ron actually meditating? Because he keeps saying, he's like, no. He's like, there were no thoughts of it. So I don't know if that's the joke of it, that it's like you were doing what you were supposed to be doing. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right,
so
right.
I don't know if they played it like that on purpose, or if literally it's Ron saying, he's like, no, that was like, if he literally got nothing out of it. But yeah, I like to think that the joke is that it's like, dude, you're doing exactly what he told you to do. You know, you were meditating.
Right.
You know?
Right. I think so. And I also think it kind of maybe a little bit a showing Ron's character of like, he's already reached a portion of nirvana just the way that he is, because he doesn't
that's
really
true.
Like
that's
think
true.
About so much. I don't know.
No, that's a good thought. Like that.
Anyhow, so now we're back at the house, and April and Andy are cuddling with all the dogs. They're all so freaking cute. Chris has like 8,000 kittens on him, precious. This also really reminded me, I think this is where Tom is outside of the window, and he's like, I don't want to get any fur on this cashmere. And it really reminds me, or cashmere.
Cashmere.
But it reminded me of when they're doing the water fountain test and they have the water balloon fight. And he's like, everything I'm wearing is suede. Everything I'm wearing is suede.
Yeah, he's hiding under a table, I think, right? Yeah.
Yes, yes.
That's great.
So now April's suggesting to throw an adoption in the parks, which is really cool. And this was a timely accident that Leslie said that would be the coolest thing since NSYNC, Aerosmith, and Nelly performed together at the Super Bowl halftime show. Because the halftime show just happened with Usher.
Yes, yes. Which oh, that's cool. Great. Yeah. Did you, you know, they forget Britney Spears was on that one too, right? I'm pretty sure she was like the guest that ran out. Yeah, because she was dating Timberlake at the time. So I think that was like a big deal.
Oh, got it. Yeah. And I really, I did see that promo that Usher was in with Parks and Rec, which I thought was hilarious. That was so funny. Oh my God. Well, this was like a million years ago.
Mm hmm. Well, there, and then there's also the, was that season 7 when they do Treat Yourself? They actually get, it's like, Usher star! Like, Don and Tom, they finally get to see that.
Yeah!
So that's great.
Usher's house!
Yep. Usher star!
Love that. Did you see the Nick Offerman Aubrey Plaza Mountain Dew commercial?
I did. And I love that they did, because I actually wrote that down, because I, for the other one, yeah, I forgot what it was for, but I love that they... I mean, clearly that was a Parks and Rec nod, because why else, you know? Because I think my wife was watching with me, and she's like, well, I mean, it's like, shut up. It's a Parks and Rec nod. It is.
Well, especially at the end, it makes sense. Like, at the beginning, I could see her point, like, I don't know, whatever. But then the end, when Nick Offerman comes in, it's like, oh, they wouldn't work together if it wasn't
Not necessarily, like, a Parks and Rec nod. Like, we're referencing something from the show, but just like, oh, yeah, they were on that show together. You know, other people would be like, oh, yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was awesome, though.
I love her line, though, like, it's me, Aubrey Plaza, America's sweetheart. Like, in her deadpan, so funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, she's doing great for herself. So, it's good to see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know. I love that she was in White Lotus. She's done a ton of stuff. So, now this talking head of April saying that she found a part of the job that she really likes. Andy's in the background, by the way. I don't know if you noticed this, like, snuggling a stuffed animal, not a real animal.
I wrote that down. I said, does he think this is real? Like, I honestly don't know if he's just, because it is weird. It's very clearly not, I didn't get that.
And I could totally see that being a Pratt thing and not a direction or written anywhere. I'm sure Pratt just went with it. That's so funny.
Like, April's take was just so good that it's just like, all right, just let him do whatever he's doing in the background. It's fine. We'll leave it. But yeah, it's like almost over the top. Like, dude, come on. You can't think that's real.
Yeah, I mean, he's a child, so maybe he's just playing with a stuffed animal and he knows it's a stuffed animal. He just loves it anyway.
Must be, yeah.
I also love the way that April feels, and I relate to this. They, like, talking about the animals, they should be rewarded for not being people. I hate people.
Yeah, absolutely.
So funny. Okay, they were in the meditation, Chris and Ron, for 6 hours. That is a long effing time, okay? Was it? Also, was it on a Saturday? Was it during the workday? What the hell?
That's a good question. Yeah, because there's a lot of, you know, since I've been doing the episode rewatches too, like doing the breakdowns like you guys do, you notice a lot more tracking things like that. Like, it's like, why is this date that Chris or that like Chris and Anne are on happening at the same time that April's giving a meeting at work, you know? So, yes. No, that's, yeah, I have no idea when this is happening.
I don't know. Yeah, well, yeah. Anyway, we're at the pet adoption, and I love that Donna has made up the histories, rescuing people from burning buildings. Love her, Retta's big cheesy smile when Andy's like, what, this cat was in Boogie Nights?
Boogie Nights. I had to Google that, too, and apparently just my Google search showed that many people have Googled, is there a cat in Boogie Nights? Because
no
I remember way. I remember the movie, and it's like, I don't know it that well, but I was trying to think of a scene where there could have been a cat, and it's like, all right, maybe at the end, but either way, there's no specific cat he's talking about.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I am sure. I mean, I love when I look at adoption websites or Instagrams. Like, I love when they make up funny stories for them, or they're talking as if they are the cat or the dog or whatever.
Okay.
Like, it's so funny. I've seen them before, and they're very endearing, and they definitely make you want to adopt them more. So yeah. Good on you, Retta/Donna.
Absolutely.
And also, April is saying that Jerry needs to clean the cages. Oh my God, there is this. I'm glad they cut it, because it's one of those moments of Jerry where you're just like, no, this is too sad and too like depressing, because there's a deleted scene of him saying that he loves his life, but he's like cleaning out whilst he's cleaning out shit from the cages.
Uh-huh.
He's like, I just love my life. It's like, thank goodness that I'm here and I'm alive. And as he's doing that, I'm just like, no, I don't like
that's
it.
That's fantastic.
It's so, like,
that's so, but that's, you know, it's just like when hit with the envelope stuffers, when he was doing the
yes.
wrong ones, he's like, it ain't government work unless you do it twice. You know, it's like, but that's hilarious. So I got to check that deleted scene. I imagine just, yeah, him spraying yeah. it and everything. Yeah, that's great.
Oh, God. Well, now this girl and her mom are at the adoption, and they're going to take a cute baby dog home, which is so precious. This mom is played by Kate Martin. She's been in Grey's Anatomy, Criminal Minds. I think she might be doing commercials now, because she has a commercial agent listed, I think, but she hasn't. Because she hasn't done anything TV film-wise. I think 2013 was her last one. So, but she was a great I really liked her in this young girl. The young mm-hmm. girl is played by Lolly Sorensen. It looks like this was her first ever thing on IMDb because she was so young. But since then, she's been in Henry Danger. I don't know if you've heard of that show, a Nickelodeon mm-hmm. show. And she has been, oh, she was in a movie called Arizona with a great cast. Like, Luke Wilson was in it, and a couple of other comedy people. And I was like, I have never seen that movie, but
yeah,
I'll have to
neither.
Check it out.
Sure.
Yeah. And she's, there's a couple of short films and stuff like that that she's been in as well. But, oh, and I think, oh my gosh, now that you say this, who was the Lerpus guy that you were talking about? Dave King?
Yeah.
Right? Oh my God. Okay. I'm pretty positive. I'll have to go back and rewatch it. But there is a deleted scene where this random guy is taking pics of dogs, like taking pictures of these dogs. And April says, hey, like, aren't they cute? Do you want one? And he's like, no, my wife just likes pictures of random dogs. She likes to put them on blankets and pillows. And I don't want one, though. I'm just taking pictures. It's so random. I'm positive that was Dave King. Now that I'm thinking about it and looking at who that picture was in his face, that was Dave King for sure. So
okay.
I will confirm that. But yeah, because they always put, not always, but a lot of times they put the writers in as, you know, cameos. So that had to have been Dave King.
Yeah, there's actually
hilarious.
One coming up in the next dog adoption part.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah, we'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now this is where Leslie finds something in the binder that she thinks will save them budget-wise to save the Parks Department and all this stuff. I did pause on the page because I always pause on the pages and make sure that it looks right. And it looked good. All I could really make out were expenditures, the word goals, mission statement. I couldn't really make out a bunch of the details because it wasn't as zoomed in as it usually is on pieces of paper. But
yeah.
it was fine.
Good, good. It tracks.
So now they take that to Pilner's office, and Pilner, okay, did you notice that there was a framed napkin that said Pilner for Pawnee?
I don't know. Not off the top of my head, no.
Okay. It's very quick. It happens at the very beginning of the scene, but I was like, that's really random. Why is there a napkin that says that? And evidently, this is a nod to Bradley Whitford's character in The West Wing.
Makes
His character
sense.
name was Josh Lyman. Or, yeah, wait, Josh Lyman, was it? No. Anyway, regardless, there was a plot device in The West Wing where a cocktail napkin said Bartlett for America. And I don't know the plot device because I don't watch the show, but
Yeah,
that was a
yeah,
West Wing nod.
yeah. Oh, okay. Makes sense.
Okay, so Pilner is now doing his bottles and ships, as he mentioned before, and says, you know, you're trying to fit two ships in one bottle. I
And
love this
it's
random
so,
ass thing.
yeah, it's so like, yeah, his ship puns are great. And it's just, he's so, the way he's like, what is it earlier in the episode when Leslie talks about a bigger bottle and he's like, I know you're just joking, but based on the FCs or whatever it is, it's just like, you can't
Yeah, I
use
think it
bigger
was during
bottles, you know? It's
this
just like,
part.
shut up.
I
Yeah, just his smug arrogance when talking about ship, you know, putting ships inside bottles. It's wonderful. Because everyone else is
know.
just like,
Right.
great, great. But.
Yeah. Okay. Have you ever like done this or looked up how they do this? Because I did,
No.
and it's wild.
No, that's, I mean, it seems like it, but yeah, please explain.
Well, I will post a video if anybody cares, but I'm sure they don't care. But regardless, I was like, how do they do it actually? Because they're not building it. So it's very I guess it's like pulling the curtain off of the Wizard of Oz to see it, you know what I mean? But basically the way that the ship's sails are, they like bend down. And so it goes in like a tiny little rectangular kind of almost vibe. You go and there are strings attached to the sails that are outside of the bottle, and then you take a pair of tweezers and you stick it inside the bottle and you pull that string, and that's how the sails go up.
Okay, so
So
everything's
the
kind
sails
of
go up
like this.
inside
Oh. Okay.
of so, yeah. So if anyone cares, but I would have never looked that up if it wasn't for this episode, so I find that very fascinating.
It's, yeah, it is kind of interesting. I'll check that
The things you
out.
learn.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so yes, there are employees on retainer that they ha that haven't worked in 2 years. So if they got rid of those employees, they can save the Parks Department budget. And this is where, yeah, this is where Pilner is very serious about not using a bigger bottle, like according to most major publications or whatever, it would be against the rules.
Yeah. Like, I doesn't he say before and he's like, I know you're just kidding. But like, yeah, kind of one of
Yes.
those like,
Yep. Totally. And then this is a really fun moment I found between Chris and Ron where Ron's just like, stop trying so hard to meditate. Like, why don't, because Ron says he didn't think about anything. And Chris is like, I've never reached that type of enlightenment, no matter how hard I try. And Ron's like, don't do that then. And this is the fun, that's the fun joke though, where Chris is so serious about trying, like he's gonna try not trying so
I'm
hard.
going to try to not try. Yeah. So, you know what? One thing with this scene that, in my opinion, doesn't track is Ron not knowing what a gyro is. How he's like, there's a spinning cone of meat over there in the Greek restaurant. It's
I
like,
wrote that.
really? Like, it's like, I feel, I mean, my only thing would be maybe like Ron's so like pro-American. Maybe he only knows like steak. But yeah, it just seemed to me, it's like, come on, man. Like, that's a very popular kind of meat. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes. I have that exact note. I was like, how has Ron never had like souvlaki or
Yeah.
something? Because that doesn't make any sense. And I think that's a good point, though, that maybe, yeah, he's so American. He's just like steak and omelets are the two biggest things. But because it does bring me back, remember when, yeah, I think it was like season two or something when Ron and Andy are really bonding and Andy gets him like this, like big, what is it, a burrito or some shit? It's like something
Big
crazy.
Head Joe's. He's like, yeah, literally tornado, kill the guy. Yeah, the meat tornado. He's like, you had me at meat tornado.
And he
But yeah,
never
you're
tried
right.
it. And he does have that line, doesn't he? Where he's like,
He
I don't
says,
try ethnic foods or something.
Sorry. Yeah,
I
yeah,
totally
yep.
forgot about that.
Yeah. He
Great
says,
point.
yeah, I'm not one for ethnic food or something like that. So that, okay, so maybe they saved themselves there.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
No, I thought the same thing though. I wrote that. I was like, it's a big thing of meat. How have you not even tried it?
Awesome. All right,
Yeah,
cool.
okay.
So it's
Good
not
to
just
know.
me.
Problem solved.
All right.
So Chris shares that he just wanted to make sure Ron was flexible. Like he didn't expect Ron to like it, but by agreeing to the meditation, he was flexible, which I think is really That's good to know, I guess. But now we're back where April is discouraged at the animal adoption and some lady comes to drop off her cats. This is where you were talking about the cameo of a writer on the show.
So,
and I've talked about her before, actually. She's been on the show one more time. What was it? I can't remember.
I want to say she might have been the one when Tom was trying to do like almost the Shark Tank idea. She came in and she was like, it's a word counter or something like that. I think that may have,
yeah.
You know, and he's like, she's like, get out. And it's like two words. And she like, you know, she shows it. That may have been her. But yeah, I can't remember. And actually, I think the only reason I recognized her watching it right now, because I don't think I ever did, was her voice, because she's been on Parks and Recollection a couple times. So when I recognize the voice and then the hair, and it's like, oh, God. And then obviously, whenever I do, you know, for Citizen to Pawnee, I do the same thing. I put the writer and director. So I've seen her name and face many times. So, yeah, that was pretty
cool. Yeah, totally. Yeah. So for those of you who are following along, Katie Dippold is the one who does this, drops off the cats. And she wrote Beauty Pageant. That was her. That's the thing that I always associate with her because it's such a good episode. And but she also, for those of you who are keeping track at home, I think the biggest cameo that she makes for me is when she says that she's a night guardian and she's actually interviewing for the animal control position. And she's like, my therapist at Dr. Nygaard says that I need to do more things that scare me, but please don't give me this job.
You know, oh no, you know what? Now that come to think of it, actually, she might actually be the voice that is on the phone with Leslie when she's talking about all the bogus like purchases that were made. You know, when she's like, you have like a Netflix account, and Tom's like, you have Netflix and Blockbuster. I'm trying to remember where I've seen her name in the show, but that might be it. But
in the body
way,
pillow.
Yeah. 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 And the Hogwarts classes or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Great. But anyway, yeah, so she comes in and it's kind of funny that she has two things with animals. Like one is where she's interviewing for the animal control and this is where she's doing the cat thing, which is hilarious. But I love that April runs after her. I wanted April to do that too because I was like, how dare you?
I think it is so funny how April is having a conversation still with Andy and Jerry as she starts running after her. Like, she's just like, all right, hold on for a second. Get back here. Get your pooping cats. <That's>, I love that so much that she's actually, and just the, like the sheer, like the gall on this woman just to like, here, it's like, no, we don't take
cats.
Okay. I'm just going to, and just literally walks away thinking there will be like no repercussions or anything.
Right.
Oh, it's so good.
Is this where we drop off our unwanted cats? No.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
It's... Oh, God.
Anyways, so Ben and Leslie are celebrating their win. They're at home. They found a solution to save the parks department and the budget and all these things. And Leslie's comparing them to Barack and Michelle, which is so lovely.
Ben's like, wait, am I Michelle in this situation? Because if you notice, Leslie does that. She goes Barack and Michelle. Like she points to herself as Barack and then him as Michelle. I like that.
And I love her look of like, well, yeah.
Yeah, it is what it is.
And then we get a bombshell. Anne comes in and she has this kind of sarcastic tone to her voice, which we wonder why. And then we find out that Pilner is firing all D1s, not just the D1s that were on retainer, including Anne, which is hitting Leslie where it hurts. Like, hello. And also, did you see, I don't know if you noticed this, but Adam Scott definitely has like this smirk smile thing on his face before it cuts. And I'm like, were you breaking? Like, you'll have to go back and watch.
Oh,
it's
no.
Really interesting.
Oh, no. When you first said he was smiling, I thought you meant like alluding to him being like happy that she was like losing her job, like maybe so he wouldn't have to compete with her for Leslie.
Oh.
I'm happy that's not what you were getting at. Just like, thank God.
No, I never noticed
that.
I just think he was smiling because he was, I don't know, I felt like he was breaking, but it's okay.
Okay.
Anyway, Chris runs into Councilman Hauser and tells him about hiring Ron for the assistant city manager position. Side note, Councilman Hauser, a.k.a. his name is Vians. It's Y-V-A-N-S. I never know how to pronounce it. I'll have to ask him.
Jordans or whatever. Yeah, I've tried doing his last name. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he's in a Paxlovid commercial right now, the COVID prescription. And
that's
I was like, oh, my God, Councilman Hauser. I love seeing it. Anyway, Chris is all excited and Hauser stops him because apparently the council wants Chris as city manager. But if Newport wins, he's going to bring his own city manager. And he's like, why would you do that? Blah, blah, blah. And Chris says that or Chris finds out that basically Bobby Newport is not happy that Chris was volunteering for Leslie's campaign, which we talked about that in the episode with the phone bank competition. Like, I know that it technically is fine, but a part of me was like, is this a conflict of interest, even though you're doing this as a citizen and not as city manager?
The fact that, like, I almost wrote down that it's like he almost wears his heart on his sleeve, because it's like, yes, he is so pro Leslie Nope, but it's like, dude, you've got to think, it's like you're running a city as well. So, yeah, I think he's actually very careless, almost. Like, I think, and this is totally unrelated, but, like, I don't know if I would say unethical, but, like, it kind of, like, because Chris is, like, a good moral character, but he can kind of be, a shitbag, too. Like, all the stuff with Jerry's daughter, like, that's where I'm at in my rewatch. So, I mean, like, you want to like Chris, but it's like he also does some kind of unethical things like that. This kind of might fall under that. It's like, dude, yeah, you're running this city, but dude, you're clearly favoring this. So it's almost like, what did you think was going to happen? Like, I guess we probably didn't think of that either. But when you hear it, you're like, yeah, that makes total sense. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I also think it's interesting because when the campaign managers, the first campaign managers come to Leslie to say, you know, somebody's retiring. I didn't really track it until I was analyzing this episode that Pilner is the one who is retiring. Yeah. We never knew who was retiring. And I was like, oh, that's so cool to see who the person was that she's going to be taking his place. I never thought of that in all of my time as watching this. I don't know why I was whatever, but it's really interesting that she's working with the person that she's going to take his place. If she wins,
that's
obviously.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, the whole Chris thing, I have been feeling more sorry for him because he's getting depressed in where we are now with our watch through. But yeah, I haven't been the hugest fan of him, especially with the whole trial thing. I was like, why are you calling 8,000 witnesses? She already said, but
yeah,
that's neither here nor there.
Totally.
Okay, Sayu, let's see. Leslie's meeting with Pilner now, and she says she needs one more week to figure out this budget. We can do it. And I was wondering, like, why couldn't we just fight/ask for just those D1 retainer people to be let go? Like, she didn't ask Pilner, like, why are you firing everybody? You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good point.
I guess
it's a good point,
'cause money cut.
I could see, like, if he did, like, looked into it more and found more than three people, you know, maybe that have been sent around. But yeah, for like someone like Anne, who's an active employee, it doesn't really make sense, like, to just be like, all right, fine. Because it's not like Pilner is trying to screw Leslie over, too. Like, you could see maybe if there was a storyline where he didn't like her, that it's just like, okay, here you go. But this just seems to me more like, what do you like? And like he says at the end of the episode, you can't make everyone happy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I thought about that, too. I was like, if this was a political move, it would be really that would be a good move because it really is Leslie's best friend. But yeah, that's not what it was. It was more of a budget thing. So, yeah. Anyhow. And also, why did they bring in Andy? I know he's technically supposed to be the assistant to Leslie, but like dropping the bottle. Oh, my gosh.
I said the exact same thing for this scene specifically, because it's like, why is he there? And it's like, all right. Yeah. He's like her. Yeah. Like you said, assistant. But. And I like that he gets the ship out of the bottle. It's funny for a second, but it's still just like, yeah, why? That's probably more impressive than getting it in and then just like, you know, because you have to essentially get the sails back down to get it out.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, you definitely. And he didn't have any tweezers, I wouldn't think. So he did something magical.
Awesome.
All right. So, like you were mentioning, this little moment with Pilner is really excellent as far as like you're going to make a lot of people unhappy with every decision. And I thought it was really interesting that this is where the live ammo line comes in. Like we play with live ammo around here. But I do think it was nice that he was kind of spreading some of that wisdom. And Leslie really, I think, needs to hear that of like, you know, if you do this for reals, like if you win, you can't be doing this every single time like a hard decision comes up. So if you get me a decision by 5 p.m., okay. But if not, we have to move on. And they both are like, okay, that's fair. I get it. So I thought that was a really lovely moment as far as like the trajectory of and the wisdom of how she's going to be running her campaign, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I like that he's not trying to be like a jerk, but he puts it out there. He's like, I've been letting you guys kind of push me around with this because I'm almost done. But today is when the decision has to be made. So, yeah, no more joking around. Yeah. Get it or don't.
Right. So. Yes, totally. I also saw, speaking of, well, not, we weren't just talking about it, but I had mentioned the Ben breaking or Adam Scott breaking. I did see a smirk on Bradley Whitford's face as well when Andy comes up with the bottle. And I wonder if he was breaking, too. I don't I love seeing that. Like, I just love looking. That's one of my favorite things to catch is like if people almost break.
Okay, nice.
But anyway, so Chris is coming into Ron's office now, and Ron is smiling because, like we talked about before, he's working on all these different ways to cut the budget, and Chris tells him the news, and he has his signature depressing smile, but that everything's going to be okay, even though he's giving bad news, and he's like, we're just devoid of meaning. We'd have no purpose here. And then this is where Ron brings out the Lagavulin, which, love, that Chris gets to enjoy that with him.
Mm-hmm. I love.
Also, did you know that? Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, is this the part where when he walks out, when he's just like, "I'm Rolling Stone." Peace.
Yes.
Like, I loved I had to look up because I wasn't sure if that was like a famous line or something, but it's like, no, it's just his delivery is so good. Just the, he's like, well, I'll see you when I see you. I'm a Rolling Stone.
Right. He's just trying to put on a brave face, like, whatever, it's fine, I'll be okay. And this is also a very Ron growth moment. I don't think he would have stopped Chris in season one to be like, hey, or season whatever the hell when Chris comes in, season three, to be like, okay, let's talk about this, or let's just, like, spend some time together or whatever, you know? So that was really nice of Ron to comfort him in that time.
Yeah, totally.
But what I was going to say is, have you seen those commercials for Lagavulin? Because Ron / Nick Offerman is like officially a sponsor for them now.
No, I didn't. Finally? Wow. No, I have not.
Yeah,
that's
he's
awesome.
Like, I think it's been like, oh gosh, it's been a minute. But if you follow him on Instagram, you'll see him post about it every now and again. And he's like, he's working with him. It's so fun.
That's awesome. All right, cool. Check that out.
Yeah. Okay. Did you have something else you were going to say? I might have cut you off.
I don't, maybe I did. I'm good though. Never mind. Sorry.
Okay. Cut me off if you need to. All right. So now Ben, Anne, and Leslie are talking about ideas, and Ben says, you know, this isn't a trust fund. We can't just do this like this, you know, however you want to cut it. And I love this so much. Amy Poehler's so brilliant. The whole like, wait, I'm forming an idea.
It is good. And then, and yeah, like the just the part we talked about earlier too with yes. And this is another one in a long line of, because what does she say? She uses the example in like one of the earlier seasons about how, it's before when Anne's trying to get the job part-time at City Hall, and Leslie tells her like, don't you not want to have to like pull things out of people's butts? Or it's something like that. And, you know, Anne's just
that
like,
that only happened one time.
Yeah, she's like that. Or, and then she says like at another point too, just kind of like, I don't think you have, or like, what you think happens at my job doesn't actually happen, but yeah.
I know there's actually a deleted scene I'm going to play for you because it kind of speaks to that a little bit. But the other one I think that's funny is she's like, you've resuscitated a human heart in your bare hands. No, I haven't. You will, because you're that good of a nurse.
That's awesome.
But yeah, the butt thing, the pulling things out of people's butts, when she said that's only happened one time, I love the response of like, that's one time too many.
Yeah. But yeah, here it's shaving wieners and dodging knife attacks from meth heads. It's like,
yes,
it's like,
exactly.
It's like stuff that happens on the fourth floor at City Hall.
Yes, totally.
Yeah.
Well, so Leslie is kind of freaking out in a deleted scene. We don't really see that in the aired episode, but there's a deleted scene where she's like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I don't know if I can handle how many hard decisions this takes and how I might have to, like, have Anne not have a job because I have to save this, that, and the other thing, you know? And so I'll just play this deleted scene for you. It's really funny.
No, I will not let you return to a life of shaving wieners and dodging knife attacks from meth heads.
I really need you to spend some time with me at the hospital so you can get a better sense of what an average day is like.
It's just when I worked at the Parks Department, all I had to worry about was the Parks Department. That was my baby. The city council has 100 babies. I don't know if I can do this.
But this is the job. Making tough calls that affect a lot of people and dealing with the consequences. And if anyone can do it, it's you, Khaleesi.
Khaleesi? Game of Thrones.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
So that's like twofold. First of all, because in the aired episode, Anna's like, yeah, you're right. I shouldn't be with meth heads and shaving wieners. But in this one, it's like, that's not what happened.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then, hilarious. Yeah, I thought the Khaleesi thing was really fun because I don't think that we've really seen a bunch of Game of Thrones stuff yet. We get there when it becomes even more popular. But
yeah, there was the one, and I just passed it. Yeah, where Ben was upset. Just it was the treat yourself Pawnee Rangers, like in the beginning of the episode when Ben's like really upset, so he's kind of like just giving Donna and Jerry shit, and she's like, "What happened? Did Game of Thrones get canceled?"
Yes,
and you know, and he gets the whole no. He's like, "No, it never happened. It features real people with you." But yeah, yes. Game of Thrones references.
Oh, is he
are great.
In for a surprise? I would love to see the Ben character like watch the last episode of Game of Thrones. Because did you watch Game of Thrones?
I did. Yeah. I didn't get that upset about it because I really just kind of turned off my brain. I mean, like a lot of the stuff at the end, I was like, I don't care. At least it's still cool. There's still like a fight, you know, all the action and everything. But it's like how I watch Star Wars, like, because everyone's so upset about how Star, you know, and it's like, I guess I'm just not a big enough Star Wars fan to care. So it's
or you're
more
just
so
there
like
for the fun. I'm the same way. Like we're just there for the fun of it. I will say though, Game of Thrones, like it didn't make me like angry, but it definitely made me so confused because I was like, there were things that you just could have used that didn't work out. But if some people got so obsessed about it, I can't imagine what Ben would have like done or how he would have thought. Maybe he would have stuck by them. I don't know.
I agree with you 100%. Yeah, I was more so. I don't think I was as upset as most people, but. Yeah. But anyway, the Game of Thrones jokes like moving forward is great.
I also love the idea that he's calling her Khaleesi in their spare time.
Yeah.
Like
that's
randomly.
Awesome.
Okay. That's so good. Moving on. So Tom notices that April isn't at work today, and this is where he has a really nice Tom moment where he's growing and being nice, and he's showing her that, you know, the pet adoption may not have gotten the best results or whatever, but she did save one dog and made one girl/family really happy. I also love his whole like Aziz moment when she opens the door and she's like, I'm not here, whatever. And he's like, April.
I love too the picture at the end. It's the one that they have always of Tom with that little coffee cup. And it's always just like, hey, how'd that get in there? And I noticed that too, the episode Meet and Greet, the one when he sabotages Leslie's whole, you know, like when he puts the pictures of Entertainment 720 everywhere. That's the same picture too. Yeah, that little one with him with the little cup. I love that one.
Yes, I love it so much. How'd that get in there? Oh, that just must come preloaded.
And, you know, actually, quickly, this part right here where Tom kind of like comforts April, this almost happens next episode in the debate. Because remember, Tom's like super like bummed out because he thinks Anne and Chris are going to get back together. So I think it's like the same exact couch, actually, but it's the reverse. Now it's April cheering Tom up. Like, yeah. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. That's really lovely. Oh my gosh. And also, oh my gosh, we'll talk about it when we get to that episode. But come on, Tom, what are you doing? Why are you fighting for this so hard? Yeah. Come on! You stayed together for 30 hours or whatever, 37 hours, and that was your like record? Come on.
Yeah, I know.
Anyways, there is a deleted scene here that I wanted to play as well because it is kind of explaining why she's not there. Obviously, we don't need it because we see that April is upset, whatever. But it's more of Andy being the golden retriever guy, a boyfriend. And so I just wanted to play it for everybody.
Hey, where's April? We have a meeting.
Oh, she didn't come in today. She told me to lie and tell people that she was sick because she's really bummed about the pet adoption. So. And she has the flu. Because the pet adoption went so well.
Man, oh man.
That was close.
That was so funny that Andy's like, oh, I nailed it. I did the thing.
Nailed it.
Anyway, so yeah, she was faking to be sick. So, okay. All right, so now we're at where Chris is feeling good with the whiskey. He's like, okay, this is nice. This is good. Rom says, consider not having the job. Maybe there's some upsides. And then we see Anne walk by, and they have a little wave, and it gives the audience a moment of like, ooh, what's happening there? Okay. Because, and also, I don't know. I guess I don't need to like analyze this part, but is it because like he can't date her because he's technically the boss? Like, and then if he wasn't the boss, he could date her? Is that what that is?
I don't know. That's a good point. Because like it kind of conveniently happens in the next couple episodes where Chris's whole thing, oh, well, there's that too, that he thinks he might lose his job. So it won't matter. Right. Maybe he's thinking that. He's just like, well, there's always that possibility that I could, you know, Ann Perkins possibly.
Because he won't be the boss anymore. So that's the upside of not like when Ron says think of the upsides. And so I was like, oh, is that why like he is maybe waving at her? I don't know.
My thing with this, like, I love that Ron, and if you go through and watch the entire series, Ron has his moment with almost every one of the main characters where he gives
absolutely
that wonderful advice that you didn't see coming. Here, though, I love that he's there for Chris, but when you think about it, like, this advice it's not really advice, it's just telling him, like, hey, if you get fired, you won't work here anymore. That's essentially all it is, and so it's like, kind of take it how you will, because it's like, Ron thinks like this is an evil job, but maybe Chris doesn't, you know? So to Chris, it's just like, hey, don't worry, man. If you lose the job, it just means you don't work here. Well, I like working here. You know, it's kind of one of those.
Right.
So that's why I love that he gives him nice, like he helps him out, but the advice kind of sucks.
That's true. But it is, like you said, it is nice that he's like comforting, if anything. Yeah. He's like being a friend to him. You know what I mean? And I think that is where we're headed. I think that's why they saw Anne walk by, because I don't know. I mean, I'm not always sold on Chris and Anne getting back together. I don't always love that idea. They have their good moments, but I'm just like, okay, you know.
Mm-hmm. But I agree.
I think Chris feels better. And that's all that we need from this moment, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so now Ben and Leslie, we're getting close to the end here, are meeting with Jennifer. And before we get into their conversation, I wanted to point out to people that Jennifer has a bag next to her that says Lady Place, like a clothing bag, like she had just gone shopping. There was a deleted scene in the last episode, the Lucky episode, where Leslie got all her montage outfits from, like the yellow dress, the grease outfit, all that stuff. And the deleted scene, the reason why she has all those, or the place where she got all of those, was a place called Lucky Place or Lady Place, a place for ladies.
Nice.
And so they brought that back, and I'm glad that they had that little Easter egg in there.
That's awesome. Very cool.
Yeah. So now Jennifer's mad, though, because this is where we get to the badass part, because she wishes she had thought of the idea to use Bobby's fortune to save the animal shelter. What a brilliant idea from Leslie. Oh, my God. That's so good. She's like, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, because what did she say? She thinks the water might be, I don't know, it's got to be the water.
Yeah.
When Leslie tells her too, she's like, oh, and by the way, that water's good. You shouldn't be drinking that. But like I talked about earlier, this is just such an awesome scene. And I really feel like when she's like, she'll take care of the check, that's almost like the mic drop. Like, we're out.
It's so good.
You know, it's just, it's so good. And again, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it also goes back to the bar when she like annihilates Leslie on Purd, and then they go to the bar and they're like, oh my God, she kicked our ass. And then she kind of like makes them feel really small by saying, I took care of the tab. We're good. Mm. And now Leslie's like, yeah, you can take care of the tab because I'm going to kick your ass. Yep. I love that.
You actually see, I love that, like Catherine Hahn, her acting there, it's great. Like she makes that face kind of like, oh shit, I didn't think of that. She's just like, I'm gonna have to meet him in a week and I'm gonna kick his ass. And she's just like,
yes,
yeah, there's that, I guess.
So good. Oh my gosh, yeah. And it's so strategic, and we already mentioned this, but it's just such a brilliant kind of like round in the circle moment. But it points to two things too. Like, she really thought this through, you know. She's like, I'm gonna tell Pilner to cut the parks department and then I'll come out looking good if you don't do this. But it also shows that she loves this town so much. She loves her best friend, and she gets to kind of kill two birds with one stone, because I love that comeback too, of like, we're gonna dominate the news cycle for a week. Well, you can have this week because I'll take the next one. It's like, not a big deal. They're so nonchalant. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's West Wingy. Isn't it? Even if you don't watch West Wing, even if you don't, you still get that that's the vibe of West Wing of like, I figured it out.
All right. Sounds good.
Exactly. But no, to answer your question, the first thing was the air in this town is killing her brain cells. And then she's like, oh, I shouldn't drink the water either.
There we go. Okay.
Okay, so, oh my gosh, there's a deleted scene here. It was really great. She says, in exchange for doing this, for Bobby using his trust fund to save everything, no more puppy killer ads. And I was like, what kind of ads were they playing? They have it in the deleted scene.
Oh, okay. I was going to say the part you just said. I'm like, I remember that. So, okay.
Leslie Knope wants all these adorable puppies and kittens to die.
Please, Miss Knope, please don't turn me into a fur coat.
Vote for Bobby Newport. He likes his puppies alive.
Vote Bobby Newport for city council.
I love his ads. It's so good.
Oh, my God.
Like, two things. My dad
Number
knows
one,
John
at the
Hoover
end...
Mellencamp.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my dad. Okay, two things, great. Though. At the end, they have a little thing that says, I like dogs at the end. Remember in the campaign, he's like, I like dogs.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So that's like his slogan now that they bring back. And then did you ever watch, I don't know like what your age range might have been, but did you ever hear of this show called Angela Anaconda on Nickelodeon?
No.
Okay, so... Maybe if anyone in the audience knows, let me know. But basically, it was this show. You'll have to Google it or something, because it was a show where like it was like newspaper clippings as people, as kids. Like the cartoons were really interesting. Anyway, that's how they. Can I look it up for you? Because I need you to just understand a little bit more.
What's it called again? I'm sorry.
Angela Anaconda. Yeah, look that up and look at that picture. And of like the main girl and like that weird kind of cartoon is how it looks on the ad, where it just looks like newspaper clippings that are animated.
Okay. Gotcha.
And
that's
it's really
awesome.
Funny, so just had to share that. But yeah, I love that they brought that. And then anyway, so they're going to do the whole thing with you can have this week. And I just love that after they leave, Jen takes a sip and she spits it out. Yep. Oh my God, it's so powerful though to just remind her like he doesn't know how to speak. So
it's awesome.
Okay, so now the tag is Ron pretending to meditate when Chris comes in to play Cranium, which, oh my gosh, I have not heard Cranium in a long time. I would love to play that again. I feel like it was all the rage at one point.
I did write down that, yeah, it's a great game. I don't remember. I do remember that it's like there's a bunch of different like categories. Like there's one part where you like have to mold things with clay. There's another where you have to draw blindfolded. So that was a really fun game. But I just immediately thought of him with Ben. You want to boggle? As far as the board games. You want to boggle?
Yes.
It's awesome.
Oh my God. I could totally see him liking Cranium though, because yeah, like you said, I had to kind of look up and remind myself what the game was. But yeah, it sounded like a lot of trivia, like intellectual, knowledgeable categories. And yes, so I was like, that makes total sense that he would be into that. But yeah, and I also love little April's little moment too of like, he's meditating. And then he winks and they have a little workplace proximity associate moment.
It's a good one. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so good. I feel like there was something else I was gonna say, but now I can't remember, so that's okay. I know what I was gonna say. I wonder, like, did he know that Chris was coming in, or does he just do this all day? You know what
I mean? Yeah, that's a good point. I wonder if he just had it worked out.
Was he just sitting
April
there the whole time?
Yeah, or if he just Yeah, maybe he just said he's like anyone who comes in, or maybe she. Yeah, that would have been interesting. I would have liked to see the lead up to that. Like maybe she gave him a nod or something, like she saw Chris coming. But yeah, it does make it a little funnier too. And what you were saying, because it's like, is this just how Ron sits throughout the day? You know?
Oh my God.
Until he
That's
has
amazing.
Something to do.
Yeah. That's a good call. Okay, that's my headcanon now. They have a sign. They have a signal to let him know when somebody's coming in. Okay, great.
Perfect.
Well, that was it. That was live ammo. Thank you so much for doing all of that with me. That was so
absolutely
fun. Tell everybody where they can find you and where we can follow you.
All right. So again, if you if you're listening to this, you're probably a Parks and Rec fan. If you're on Instagram at Parks Rec Memes, that's where I do, like I said, scenes from the show. So just kind of broken up into panels. And then the other one for my podcast, Citizens of Pawnee, on Instagram, or I'm sorry, at Citizens of Pawnee Podcast on Instagram. And for that one, I started off the show actually more so doing character breakdowns. And then when I kind of ran out of those, it's just you'll see. I mean, like, there's just a bunch of different kind of there. But now I am currently doing a rewatch. I'm on season. Like I said, I'm a little behind you guys. I'm about 10 episodes behind. But yeah, Citizens of Pawnee is the name of that podcast. You can find it wherever you find this one and all your other stuff. So, yeah.
Yay. Lovely. I love all the citizens too. I mean, that's basically kind of one of my like biggest analytical moments that I find is like researching everybody. So I'm glad that we got to bond over that.
Yeah. It's something, and I hate comparing, you know, this to The Office, but I mean, like, they're so similar in the vein, and obviously all the people who worked on it and everything. But I just, this is one thing about, like, because The Simpsons, I don't know if you're a big fan of The Simpsons, but like, that's another show that is very big on the background characters, the whole town of Springfield. They've got like this huge, amazing, eclectic cast of people that you're like, even on the, like, the Parks Rec memes page, there's so many times where people will comment, like, oh my God, like, for instance, the Lurpuses. Like, I only know because I've done so much just going on IMDb, looking up, you know, whatnot. And so the Lurpus name, when I figured that out too, you see the Lurpus name, actually, there's like a Lurpus trucking company at one point. There's, like, you see this stuff in the background. So I just, that's probably my favorite thing about Parks and Rec is just the world building. Not that you asked, but yeah, when I get on a Parks tangent, it's hard to stop me. So
I totally understand. But yes, I mean, I learned something. I did not realize there were 9 Lurpuses. So this is good to know.
You know what? I'll send you on Instagram because I know I made a thing for it. I'll send it to the Parks Pals page just so you can see like who I'm talking about. Yeah. So
awesome. Okay, everybody. Well, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to rate and review if you haven't yet for both of our podcasts. Follow us on Instagram. Do all of the things. If you have any questions, email us. Make sure that you get those questions in because we'll be happy to research it. Hello. And yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Brian, for coming on. This is so fun.
It was a blast. Thank you again. Thank you.
Yay. Okay, everybody. Have a good week and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Take care.
There's the Parkinson Pals, and there's also therapy too.